This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Chris Turpin and Stephanie Jean seemingly had it made in 2014. The English natives were half of the grunge blues band Kill It Kid that was signed to Sire Records and had just released its third album. But the married couple wasn't happy with either their record contract or the music they were making. They left and later formed the Delta Blues-inspired duo Ida May, which performs this weekend at the Peoria Blues and Heritage Festival. The couple now lives in Nashville. Turpin spoke with GLT's John Norton about living in the American South and the decision to leave Kill It Kid.
It was a really gutsy move.
It was.
Yeah, because also they were all our, you know, very close friends, and you know, our youngest experiences making music had been within that band, and we had been told by our management that you will never be picked up again. You know, you're signed to a major label and they've let you go. You know, you'll never succeed in this industry. And we also, you know, the contract we'd signed meant we couldn't even go out and speak to record companies or anyone, really, because we could have been tied in that deal for a long, long time. These major label deals are really nasty, and I'm not sure if a lot of people know what's in them. I mean, I'm not even allowed legally to talk negatively about any of the companies we were signed to, but these deals are seriously heavy-handed and they can have a long-term impact for years and years after the record has come out. So you know, we worked quite hard to end up shaking our way out of it, really, and it was a big gamble because we just did not know what would happen. But it's just simple, man. You feel like such a fraudster if you're up on stage and playing things that you don't believe in.
Chris, it was like around 50 years-ish ago that Clapton, other guys from Led Zeppelin, John Mayall, Long John Baldry maybe, those kind of people brought the blues back to life for Americans. It's like they resuscitated the American music for Americans. And now 50 years later, you know, you are sort of looking at American music in a different way and bringing it back to America again.
I hope so. I mean, it's funny, in the UK, people kind of turn our noses up at us. I have done in the past, Exciting Blues as a reference, because they're like, well, you guys aren't American, how can you be singing the blues? And I'm like, well, it was good enough for the Stones and the Beatles and John Mayall and, you know, Clapton and everyone else we've mentioned. So I find it makes no sense that us Brits become so immersed and in love with American music, especially suburban British kid like me from a small city becomes obsessed with, you know, 1920s country blues. It makes no sense. But for me, it was just more vital than anything else I'd heard, and it was more meaningful and more intense than anything else I'd ever heard before in my life. When we first moved to Nashville last year, I picked up a book of folk songs collected in Missouri. There's some of the first songs that were notated from that area. And man, it's just the ethno kind of musicology of it. It's just fascinating. And how, you know, there were songs in that book from where I grew up in Norfolk in England. There were songs where my dad lives in Yorkshire. There were songs from where Seth's family are from in Northern Ireland. And they were all being sung all over different parts of America. And it was all this huge, great melting pot. And I think it's one of the proudest things America has, is this incredible gelling together of cultures, from the Cajun singing in the South to the folk songs from the Irish and the Scottish and the Brits, combined with the sort of earthy, more African rhythms and the sort of natural raw beauty and poetry in the blues. I just think is one of the coolest things. And then how that spills into great American songwriters like Woody Guthrie and the Carter Family and Hank Williams, you know, it's just a... I feel that when we play here as well, it's kind of missed by a lot of people. I don't think it's treated as much reverence as it is perhaps even in the UK, which is a weird thing to say. I remember the first time we went to Clarksdale, and we were going around the different museums and sites and things, and you know, there's a place called the Riverside Inn where everyone from Martin Luther King to, it's where Bessie Smith died, it's where Ike Turner in theory stayed the night before he went and recorded Rocket 88 at Sound Records, and it's where Muddy Waters stayed and Howling Wolf stayed. Man, it's just still this little kind of rundown, beat up B&B, which is amazing. But, you know, in the UK, we would have probably slapped that in a museum and had things would be cordoned off, you know.
All our beautiful flawed designs, all the plans we made and wasted time, we left them in the dark to the bullies and the sweethearts. Yeah, we drank out our peace of mind, we got drunk on Atlantic time, and I threw my heart into a traffic down on East Park.